employees to about 30 or 40 workers. That means there are 30 to 40 families that used to have income, but not anymore because I have stopped the building of my house. I'm the head of a family of 6 people. All I want is a job opportunity, and everything will go fine with me. I wish other workers could work too, like the old days of working in a team. There were supposed to be more than 20 workers working on this scaffolding. However, there are only 2 or 3 people because of the shortage in construction materials. Their being here is inconsistent. As you can see, no improvements seem to occur.
These 2 workers are the only ones among over 30 who continued working here to make a living. Ibrahim, Raed's colleague and cousin, is the only one who remained to work with him, doing some modest jobs, despite knowing very well that he's not the right person in the right place.
I have learned the Holy Quran by heart and studied at private schools. Then I pursued my study in Malaysia at East Asia University. My major was the Prophet's Hadiths. After that, I came back to Gaza. As you can see, I work in construction. We have no chance to work in related fields. The crossings are blocked, and there aren't any projects or development. There is nothing. There are approximately 35,000 unemployed graduates. Because of the blockade, this number has risen in light of the rapid increase in the number of graduates from the Palestinian and Arab universities. This means that there is a large number of graduates per year. More than 10,000 graduates joined the previous number of the unemployed because of the lack of opportunities.
Hamza Hassan from the Beach refugee camp has joined the army of the unemployed after 4 years of study in the English Literature Department at the Faculty of Arts. 2 years after graduation, he lives a conflict between dreaming of a certificate and looking for any job, even if it's not related to his field of study.
I graduated from university after 4 years of studying English literature. I and most of the other young people were surprised with the fact that there are no work opportunities. Even if one does not want to work in one's field of study, it is hopeless. Youth also suffer from boredom. Young people spend some time out, just like myself. We spend most of our time in having food, sleeping, and hanging out.
The Gaza Strip is surrounded by 7 crossings. The Rafah crossing is the only one connecting the Gaza Strip with an Arab country, Egypt. But the other 6 crossings are fully controlled by the Israeli occupation. And most of them are completely blocked most of the time. The only commercial crossing left partially open is the Kerem Shalom crossing. It is controlled by the Israeli soldiers Mood.
The needs of the Gaza Strip exceed 800 trucks a day. Meanwhile, the Israeli occupation prevents more than 480 to 500 trucks from entering Gaza. These goods are very important for the development of the Palestinian economy and include all raw materials, machinery, and equipment required for the development of the economy or solving the problems of production lines. I am Majid Abdul Hafiz Abu Salim. I own a sewing factory that produces bags. This bag factory has stopped working for a long time because of the siege and the occupation. This is a leather sewing machine that we use in producing leather bags. All these machines as well. As you see, they are all off. There were 12 to 15 workers. However, after the blockade, the factory has stopped. All the workers have lost their jobs and spend their time at home or in hanging out. I used to work as a tailor. I haven't worked for almost 9 years now because of the siege, the blockade, and the Israeli restrictions. I have 6 daughters, 3 sons, and there's my wife and I. I cannot fulfill their needs. We're currently living by help and aid. Our life is very difficult, and the unemployment rate has become great. When school started, I didn't buy new bags, clothes, or anything for my kids because I was not ready to buy them their school needs and let them suffer hunger later. Thank God I'm not renting my house. May Allah help those who rent. I am not renting, though I suffer very much. الله يساعد المتأجرين دور يعني أنا داري مش متأجرها ووضعي كئيب جدا جدا أنا سجين وبعد ساكن بيت إيجار. I am a deported prisoner and I am renting a house. Currently, my family lives by relief supplies and aid. There isn't a job opportunity and the situation is really difficult. As you see, I have 6 kids. Come in, please. This is one of my 6 kids. Please come in. This is Muhammad. He is sick. What does he suffer from? He has convulsions, epilepsy, mental retardation, and speech difficulties. If he walks along the street, he wouldn't know where he is going. Every time he goes out by himself, I go bring him from a different place.
My sister-in-law has got rid of this closet, and I thought of removing my kids' clothes into it instead of being on the floor. All the kids' clothes are damaged. If my husband had a job with a monthly income of $200, not $400, it would be enough to pay for the owner of the house the first month, and the next month, we could buy a closet like most of the people. We could buy a bed for ourselves. We had a bed and a closet when we got married, but we sold them to afford the housing rent, because the house owners would kick us out. They're not tolerant, and they would ask for their money. The house does not have appropriate doors or windows, but we had no choice.
I tried to get a job. I worked as a taxi driver, but it wasn't helping because of the fuel crisis. And if you want to do something else, it must be at the expense of your health. I used to work in construction, but construction has stopped in the strip. The crossings are all blocked, and the situation is very bad. The construction materials are very expensive and rare. I am sick and can't do tiring work. In winter, water reaches up to this level. Even when I tried to make a hole in the wall to let the water out, some of the street water started flooding, and its level was higher than the kids' knees. We used to fill 6 or 7 buckets with water to get rid of it. People like winter, but I don't. I don't like it because it is tiring. This is our kitchen. The walls are cracked because of the rocket shelling during the war.
The Shaban's house is already cracked by poverty and also by the missiles of the 2 wars on Gaza, the 2008-2009 war and the late 2012 war. The Israeli rockets accurately hit targets other than the Shaban's house. They destroyed nearly 1,000 of a total of 4,000 industrial facilities. Many of the rest have completely stopped working due to the blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip since mid-2007.
This factory used to work in concrete in the Gaza Strip. It provided job opportunities to about 70 workers. During the pre-war period, we had 17 mixing vehicles and 7 concrete pumps. 10 of these vehicles were destroyed, and only 7 remained. In spite of this, I want to bring this factory to life again to make a living. I want to contribute to the reconstruction of Gaza, but now there are small quantities of goods entering Gaza. More than 3,900 factories have stopped either completely or partly as a result of the prevention of raw materials and production requirements from coming in. Moreover, the Israeli occupation bombed many industrial facilities during the last two wars on the Strip. Most of the destroyed institutions started having problems with any production process. This made more than 45,000 workers, only in the field of production and industry, lose their jobs, which has led to an increase in unemployment.
With the siege tightening and factories systematically destroyed by the Israeli occupation, Gazans are tempted to break the siege through digging underground tunnels along the border with Egypt to bring in their daily needs of food and medications, as well as raw materials that may contribute to operating some industrial facilities in one way or another.
Many industrial institutions and laborers were working when some of the materials were allowed in through the tunnels. This softened the effects of the siege on the Strip. These tunnels, or the ground crossings as we call them, provided job opportunities to 35,000 workers in the construction sector and other industrial sectors through the entry of raw materials. My basic profession is sewing. As you know, sewing is not common now. We used to have orders from the north of Palestine. The crossings are blocked now, and there are no exchanges with Israel. In general, the sewing profession has stopped now, and I came to Rafah. In Rafah, there were opportunities and tunnels. Our area of concentration was construction materials, and especially gravel. Lately, transporting gravel has become difficult, so we started transporting goods. Merchants started providing us with goods through the tunnels. We rebuilt the factory. It used to give jobs to 70 employees. Now we are running one factory with one operational capacity. There used to be 70 people, but now there are only 30.
Tunnels became a lifeline for the residents of the Gaza Strip. The economy began to recover, and unemployment rates were significantly reduced, either because of work in the tunnels or the supply of goods, especially with thousands of tons of cement, steel, and gravel arriving daily. All of that led to dozens of large enterprises, including the reconstruction of Gaza, after the Israeli destruction of thousands of houses and public facilities. But all of these improvements have stopped with the demolition of the tunnels. Gaza became besieged again, causing the unemployment rates to increase.
There is destruction in tunnels. Every day, a cement or steel tunnel is destroyed. The tunnel line requires at least 20 workers. It may be more, but there are not less than 20. The Egyptians said they have destroyed 350 tunnels. This is what has been destroyed. We don't know whether they have destroyed the rest or not. They have demolished 300 or 360 tunnels, each requiring 20 workers. This means that a total of about 6,000 workers are now unemployed. Relying on tunnels was not on the agenda of the Palestinians. This means bringing in food, clothes, and medication through the tunnels. But the phenomenon was forced on the Gazans, leaving them with no choice. Thus began the circle of providing jobs to the deprived in construction and production factories because of the Israeli restrictions. When Egyptian security takes an action in this regard, along with not allowing these materials to officially enter the Strip, the problem of unemployment will become worse.
ستتفاقم مشكلة البطالة.
يعني أنا شغال كنت يعني كويس.
I was doing well, and now I've got 30 workers. However, if tunnels remain blocked, I will reduce the number to half because there are no goods coming in. I recently divided the workers into two groups. Each works for 15 days. If the situation remains the same, I may lay off 15 workers, and I will cause the destruction of 15 families. I was working for a short period of time. Now I have stopped because there is no cement. I have 13 people in my house. Four of my sons are unemployed. They are all illiterate. No one else is employed. I have to take care of my daughters, my wife, and my daughters-in-law. The situation used to be different. There were job opportunities and life went on. We used to work and make a living for the family. Life was better. Nowadays, the situation is different because there are no goods or cement, the crossings are blocked, and there's a siege imposed. I don't use the work equipment I have, and I have to afford the living expenses of 13 people.
Everybody is unemployed. There is no chance for construction workers, laborers, and contractors. They're all unemployed. Where will they find jobs? Even employees are complaining about the hard situation. If you intend to borrow some money from an employee, he will tell that his salary is hardly enough for him and his children. For those who receive salaries at the end of the month, they keep telling that it's not enough. An employee's salary is $400. Is it enough? The doctor with a certificate does not find work, as well as the engineer. Are there any projects or hospitals that provide work chances? Let new factories open to help workers find a chance. Is there electricity for factory work? If there were factories and construction projects, no one would need anyone else. We wouldn't need anything from the Israeli occupation, and no one would starve, because when a worker gets a chance, sometimes it's going to be much better than an employee's.
هنا كان في مشروع تطوير البحر وبالتالي
There was a project to develop the beach, thus expanding the street by the beach, but the work stopped. Look at this sidewalk. They are supposed to be paving another lane of the street. During the time I spent heading to the office or going home, I used to see many machines, engineers, and laborers working on the project. However, they aren't working anymore due to the lack of construction materials and fuel. This caused the company to stop the development of the street. In addition, many of the workers and engineers who used to work on the project stopped and became a part of the unemployed sector that already existed in the Gaza Strip.
The continuous closure of tunnels and the border crossings does not only exacerbate the high rates of unemployment, it also severely affects the performance of factories, the supply, the local market, with many essential products.
After stopping our work and having it ruined, you can see that we are hunting for work and making a wallet or repairing a bag, just like that. During the past 6 months, we noticed a slowdown in the sectors of clothes and sewing. That happened because of the lack of activation. You can add to this the productive and service sectors. They would be severely affected, and we would go back to the time, before 3 or 4 years ago, when there was great unemployment, a lack of goods and materials needed daily, and a growing crisis in many sectors, that would unfortunately worsen the humanitarian and social problems in the Gaza Strip. I was affected anyway. I cannot even fulfill the requirements of my customers or serve their interest. I pack gravel, but I can't do the same with cement. However, there is no cement, and when it is available, I can work with other workers. You can see that nobody works. Cars do not work, or employees either. Some workers come here seeking a chance at work, but I tell them there are no construction materials. If you can bring me any materials in the local market, I am ready to give you a chance at work. I've got the money and the intention. I am also in a hurry. I need to move to my new house. Today we ordered the bricks. The factory said that the bricks are not ready because there is no cement. I have been asking a blacksmith to build me a stair rod. The blacksmith agrees to make me one, but says we should agree on something first. He asks for extra money. When I ask about the reason, he says because there is no steel.
Freezing of small or large projects, the obstruction of industrial facilities, and the increase of the unemployment rate to more than 40% are all considered disasters that threaten to affect a wide range of the population of the Gaza Strip.
I and my sister-in-law were in the kitchen. My son was standing here, and my sister-in-law's sons were there. I was preparing milk for my son, and he was catching my clothes crying. The boiling pan slipped from my hand and burnt it. I should have gone to the hospital, but I couldn't afford it. I didn't have $1 to go to the hospital. I had a bacterium in the blood, and the doctor told me that this infection was caused by a polluted environment. I told him about the condition of our house, and during winter, my house becomes full of water. He said that was the reason. I recently had some analysis and found that I have problems in my chest. The doctor said I need medical treatment, and the prescription contained only two pills that cost $30, and I can't afford buying one. How would I buy those pills? The doctor gave it to me for free once because he knows about my situation. He also treats my patient son and follows his case. He paid for the medication that time. But how would I afford paying for the rest? How can I buy two pills for $30?
The Palestinians are steadfast and patient people. They have been suffering, but they are aware that the main reason is the Zionist occupation. The occupation has been trying to suppress the Palestinians, but we say that they are patient, steadfast, and will continue to be so. They will keep fighting the occupier with their steadfastness and an honorable attitude opposing these conspiracies.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته You are listening to IRIB English Radio and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So we were talking about how to strengthen and how to instill the love of religion in our teenagers' hearts. So in our previous episode, if you remember, we talked about, you know, presenting and giving them role models.
Exactly.
And today we will talk about another important issue with regards to this, and that is strengthening the emotions, religious emotions of our teenagers. Because, as you know, the psychologists say that in this age, especially our teenage, they get very emotional regarding everything. And, in fact, regarding religion also, they get emotional. Emotional in that sense that they start to understand why we are created, why we are in here in this world, and who has created us. And definitely they face a lot of questions regarding their religion.
I don't think so, mostly the parents didn't know about this amazing gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We usually take it very negatively. We say, I don't know why, what happened, my teens are so, they are so emotional, they cry very quickly, they are so much attached with something, you know, they show their emotions about
they
things and about friends.
They become very quickly angry about
everything. But look at the beauty of Islam. Islam is just teaching us that whatever qualities and habits and special some, you know, again, attributes they have in their teens, you can just direct them, guide them, and connect them towards religion, towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As we have talked before, that they love to follow someone, you make them follow Ahlul Veda alayhi salam. Now, definitely, if they are very emotional, towards something, just direct them towards Allah and Ahlul Bayt. You know, they have to use this amazing talent and gift of Allah, which Allah has given to them, because their hearts are very tender, you know, very soft. And they cry very easily sometimes.
Definitely.
They can use their tears, their all kinds of emotion towards religion and Allah and Ahlul Bayt.
And we have to use this beautiful quality
exactly.
In the right direction.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And that how it is possible to direct their emotions in the right path, that whenever we take our children to any religious activities, so we have to make that activity fruitful and attractive for our teenagers. Because nowadays, they are looking for every attractive thing, And they think usually, although they have this in their heart, the love of Ahlul Bayt and religious activities, but they usually say this is very boring.
Exactly.
You know, your religious activities are very boring. We cannot spend more time there or we cannot go there, we cannot attend. So it is our duty to make these activities attractive, not boring.
But it's a very tough task because how much attraction? Unfortunately, because of social media and all this bombard of Western, you know, culture, the level of attraction is, you know, going higher and higher and higher. Yeah. So it's very tough.
Yeah, we cannot compare these religious activities to their social media and different things, worldly things, you know.
Yeah, I think even they have less expectation about religion.
They have very less expectations. And we can slowly, slowly guide them. And we can make our activities attractive for them in that sense that we can just be cautious about our teenagers. We will talk about it, inshallah, after a short break. So please, dear listeners, we will take a short break and we will be right back.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So in that sense, that our religious activities, you know, we can just be cautious about our teenagers. And we can tell the participants or the, you know, managers of our religious activities to be a little bit cautious about these things, in like starting on time, ending on time.
Short and sweet. Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes we recite so many ziyarat and so many du'as, and lectures are very lengthy. I love some scholars, some speakers, they do very short, within 20 minutes, if they finish everything, they would love to come. Yeah.
So like if you go to any Husseiniya, Imam Bargah or mosque, we can have some activities for our teenagers also, you know, some refreshment or some, you know, interesting activities for them. So they can have, you know, very fruitful and good time there, which will, you know, instill the love of religion in their hearts, definitely.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake which we do as an adult is that we are not involving our teens. We don't have that much trust on them, yeah? And when you study Islam, you will see amazing trust on teenagers, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to do. For example, you can't believe it. 17 years old, Osama bin Zayd, yeah, he's such a young, again, teenager, but who he is, he's the commander of an army which is just going against the Rome, you know, the superpower of the time, and everyone was shocked when Rasulullah has chosen a teenager for such a big, you know, status and position. So look at the saying of Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Law a'lamahum khayra mink," if I knew anyone is better than you, I will choose that one. Yeah, because I have chosen you because you are the best for this position. And then even our Prophet, he written a letter to people of Mecca that you never ever should have any objection because of his only age. لَيْسَ الْأَكْبَرُ هُوَ الْأَفْضَلُ بَلِ الْأَفْضَلُ هُوَ الْأَكْبَرُ.
Wow.
Yeah, not only the one who has a big like age, it doesn't mean that person is superior
or has good qualities.
No, but the one who has good qualities, that person is Akbar and elder. Yeah, so the merit which Rasulullah has given is still, you know, absent nowadays in our Islamic centers too, and even in our houses, you know. So it should be just stick in our mind that we have to look to the merits, that whoever, yeah, sometimes some teenagers are very mature, yeah, very well educated, very practicing. If you see any mature teenager, you can just give that position to him or her. Why you are just looking at, you know, that person's age?
Yeah, definitely. We have to stop here. Dear listeners, let's take a short break. We will come back after the break.
Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat, يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
يا مقضي الخيرات. يا مقضي الخيرات.
Dear listeners, welcome back. Another way to attract our youth and teenager is we should not always take them to only for namaz and, you know, or majlis or these kind of activities. We should have other activities, but within religious boundaries. Yeah. For example, we can have some sports competitions and activities.
Yeah, I call them halal entertainments are, you know, incumbent nowadays. Yeah,
very, very crucial.
Exactly.
You know, we like in our mosques or Islamic centers, we can have these kind of activities. We can plan, we can design, you know, different kind of activities. So the youth are always ready to come and participate, you know. Through these kind of activities, we also, you know, guide them and we can show them the love of Ahlul Bayt and love of religion in their hearts.
Yeah, I remember once we kept some competition of making pictures and some videos and nice photography. So they were making some videos or picture, but the main theme was about religion. But they didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, the name was just that competition about pictures, but the purpose inside was about to teach whatever, you know, theme we had. So that is what we have discussed before in our episode, that the teaching and the love of religion should instill in the heart of teenagers indirectly. So we can just plan something, some halal entertainment, some activities, some picnics or some competition sports or any art gallery or art activities.
Yeah, but there are a lot of things we can do. Puppet shows
we
can do some theater shows.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, our community members, they can sit together and design and plan different activities.
Yeah, I have seen in many countries they do. They go on the beaches with youth, especially Fridays. You know, they love to go on the beach Friday and they recite one paragraph of Nudba. You know, abroad I have seen a lot.
A short.
Sure. It's not necessary to do whole Dua Nudba. You do one paragraph and just pay attention on the message of that paragraph. And that's it. And the refreshment is according to their taste. You know, they love that small pizza or some burgers or, you know, fish and chips or whatever. So then they love to come because, you know, they know that this is our type of gathering, you know. So it has a religious touch and full of fun.
Full of fun. And another thing we can do is our speakers, our entertainers or our presenters, they can be, you know, a little bit funny. They can share some jokes and funny things and they should be a little bit lively to attract our youth.
That Iranian scholars are best in the
world. Some of them.
I love them. I love them. And I don't think so over here in Iran, people that much appreciating them because we have seen the world and we know mostly the scholars are not that much lively. So the lively scholars you will get over here, alhamdulillah. And I hope we all, we scholars, we should that bring that beautiful, cheerful and lively way of teaching and training towards our teenagers.
Definitely, it will play a very, very big and crucial role in bringing our teenagers towards the religion. Dear listeners, thank you for joining our program. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Samples collected by Chang'e 5 are revealing exciting insights into the moon's evolution. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Smriti Malapati, writer. This article is published under the heading China's First Moon Rocks Ignite Research Bonanza. Stay tuned for more. Until recently, geochronologist Li Xianhua's research focused on molten rocks on Earth. But when a Chinese spacecraft delivered the country's first rocks from the moon in December 2020, Li pivoted to study them. "I am a new person working on extraterrestrial rocks," says Li, who is based at the Institute of Geology and Geophysics, IGG, at the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing. Li is one of the many planetary scientists in China who have had the chance to study lunar rocks for the first time. The samples collected by the Chang'e 5 spacecraft are the first brought back to Earth since NASA's Apollo and the Soviet Union's Luna missions more than 40 years ago. They are being examined for insight into the moon's evolution. Those studies are starting to yield exciting results. About half a dozen papers have been published on the Chang'e 5 papers in the past 6 months. And last week, at the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference in Houston, Texas, a session on China's lunar missions saw roughly a dozen studies presented. "There are a lot of young Chinese researchers getting involved," says Clive Neal, a geoscientist at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana, who has worked on Chang'e 5 samples with collaborators in China. Several postgraduate researchers and students presented work on the lunar samples at a conference in Houston, he says. "The rocks are exciting because they represent a window into a very different era of lunar magmatism compared with those gathered previously," says Neil. The Chang'e 5 mission recovered 1.7 kilograms of loose volcanic material called basalt from a vast lava plain known as Oceanus Proclembrum in the moon's northern region. The location was selected partly because it might contain younger volcanic material than the regions visited by the Luna and Apollo missions. The hope was that a younger site would give insight into a time when the moon had started to cool but was still volcanically active. Last July, the China National Space Administration released the first specimens to scientists across China. Some 17.5 grams of the fine-grained powder and solid rock were distributed for 31 scientific projects selected from 85 applications. Several further rounds of applications to work with lunar samples have followed. The first teams rushed to date the moon rocks. On October 7th, one team reported an age of 1.96 billion years, give or take 57 million years for the basalts. Less than 2 weeks later, another team, including Lee, corroborated those dates, estimating the age to be 2 billion years, give or take 4 million years. The results confirmed that the moon was still volcanically active almost a billion years later than the rocks from Apollo suggested this activity peaked, but working out what fuel this activity has proved tricky. One leading theory based on satellite observations suggested that heat-producing radioactive elements such as potassium and thorium found in lunar mantle might have driven the volcanism. But when another team at IGG examined the lunar basalts, they determined that high levels of these elements were not the source. Another possibility was that the mantle contained enough water to reduce the temperature at which materials melt and would make it easier for the magma to erupt. But Lin Yangting, a planetary scientist at the IGG, and his colleagues found that the lunar rocks probably came from a relatively dry source. The question of the volcano's heat source was flummoxed scientists. I have no answer for this, says Lin, who previously studied meteorites found on Earth. Weibo Hsu, a planetary geochemist at Purple Mountain Observatory, CAS, in Nanjing, China, said this is a very big science problem. Hsu, who received two chips of basalt, wonders whether a closer look at these basalts might reveal that they actually do come from a rich source of heat-producing elements, because the recently published study by Lin and his colleagues were conducted on soil samples that contain many materials. Hsu has found that the rocks contain high levels of titanium, which suggests they came from deep in the mantle. For now, theories about the moon's heat source abound. But Hsu says there will be a lot of groups trying to solve the mystery and gain other insights about the moon. He has seen many researchers join the field since the arrival of the Chang'e 5 samples. This year, his lab received more applications from students keen to join their graduate program than they could accommodate. This has never been the case before. Lin expects even more researchers to get involved. Within the next decade, China is planning a sample return mission to the moon's South Pole and another to Mars. Lee says 20 to 30 years ago, this was just a dream. Now it has come true.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
A
Imam Khomeini's speech to seekers of knowledge. Allah is the guardian of those who believe. He brings them out of the darkness into the light. Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 257. Darkness is that entire world which is not attentive toward Allah, while light of the truth, Most High, is the absolute light towards whom the entire universe should be attentive. In chapter Al-Baqarah, Allah says, "And as to those who disbelieve, their guardians are Shaitan." Al-Baqarah, verse 257.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Islam and our deeds. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that through Islam you achieved this victory and must advance it through Islam. In this part of speech, Imam Khomeini is referring to two things. Number one is, yes, we act according to Islam. Our deeds were in line with the Islamic teachings, and therefore we achieved this victory, which is known as the Islamic Revolution. Therefore, when we have received this and we achieved this victory, it was because of Islam. Therefore, if you want to advance in future, that should also be in line with Islam, that advancement should be through Islam and not any other system. It cannot be through the capitalism. It cannot be through socialism. It must be through Islam, because it was Islam which gave us this victory. It was Islam which gave us this courage to have this victory. And it was our deeds which were in line with Islam. And if we want to advance, obviously we need to follow Islam. In chapter 5, verse 125, Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُوا دِينًا, and the one who makes better his religion in religion, مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ, that the one who submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ مُحْسَنٌ, therefore he is the good or the good doer. وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, and follow the creed or religion of Ibrahim, Hanifan, upright. Why? Because Allah has took Ibrahim as his friend. Now,
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi.
We are known as Abrahamic religion. The Islam, Judaism, Christianity, they all are known as Abrahamic religion. And Islam is the complete version of all these religions. Therefore, it is necessary that when we have made right our religion, when we have choose a better way through the religion, which is the Islam, therefore it is necessary to follow its ways in order to achieve the advancements. And this following should be in a way, because this way is the upright one. Therefore, it is necessary to follow it. And if we fail to follow this, if our deeds are not in line with this system, this Islam, then obviously we are unable to advance and we will go back towards the darkness or dhulumat. Allah is the close guardian of the believers. He takes us out of the darkness towards the light, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day,
every night and every day, never forget to say la ilaha illa.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAT 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastorday.com/en. And now, you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.